Conditions begin to change. The political scene was changing in 1989. The death sentence for attempting to escape from Albania was abolished. Helen again visited that summer. She spent hours transmitting information and instructions entrusted to her. Vasil Joka made brief visits to the brothers as well as he could. The Sigurimi heard that Helen was visiting there and paid her a visit. Instead of causing problems, they said that they wanted a gift from America. How quickly people changed. The Berlin Wall fell on November 9, 1989, and it took no time for the effects to ripple into Albania. In March 1990, a riot against communism broke out in Cavite. Thousands of people flooded foreign embassies in Tehran, trying to leave the country. Students demanded reforms and went on hunger strikes. In February 1991, a massive crowd toppled the 30-foot-high statue of Enver Hoxha, which had dominated Tehran's Skenderbeg Square for years. As far as the people were concerned, the dictator was gone. During March, some 30,000 Albanians hijacked ships from Durrës and Vlorë and sailed to Italy as refugees. That month, multi-party elections were held for the first time in years. Even though the Communist Party won, it was clear that the government was losing its grip. Helen Marx made a final visit to Albania in August 1991, but this time she found that conditions had changed. Just 1 month earlier, the government had opened an office of the Secretary of Religion, legalizing religious activities once again after 24 years. The brothers lost no time in increasing their preaching activity and organizing congregation meetings. Vasil Joka traveled to Greece and spent time at the branch office learning how to organize the preaching work. Because his Greek was limited, the brothers who knew a little Albanian taught Vasil as best they could. Back in Tehran, Vasil conscientiously applied what he had learned and tried to organize the two weekly meetings better, one of which was a study of the recently released Albanian edition of the Watchtower. Previously, the meetings were opened with song and prayer, recalls one brother, using the songs the older brothers had taught us. We enjoyed the study, then closed with a song, or two or three or more. Eventually, we closed with prayer. In October 1991 and February 1992, Thomas Zafiris and Silas Thomaidis brought literature to Albania from Greece. They met with the brothers in Tehran and with unbaptized publishers in Berat and compiled lists of the many interested persons who needed help. After decades of spiritual isolation, the populace was spiritually famished. In Berat, for instance, interested ones were holding meetings, even though there were no baptized brothers in the city. What could be done to fill this spiritual need? An unexpected assignment. Michael and Linda Di Gregorio were missionaries serving in the Dominican Republic. Michael's grandparents were among the Albanians who got baptized in Boston in the 1920s, and he had a working knowledge of Albanian. So when the Di Gregorios decided to visit relatives in Albania in 1992, they asked the governing body if it was advisable for them to meet with brothers during their 3-day visit. To their surprise, the governing body asked them to stay in Albania for 3 months to help organize the preaching work. At the branch in Rome, brothers from Greece and Italy briefed the Di Gregorios on the situation in Albania and showed them photographs of some of the Albanian brothers, including Vasil Joka. When the Di Gregorios flew to Tehran in April 1992, Albanians from abroad were once again welcome in the country. Nevertheless, there was still much civil unrest, and people were anxious about the future. As Michael and Linda walked out of the airport, Michael's family rushed up to greet them. At the same time, Michael recognized Vasil Joka, who had also been advised that the Di Gregorios were arriving that day. "You go with the family," Michael said to Linda, "and I'll be right back." After embracing Linda, the relatives grabbed the Di Gregorio's luggage and hurried toward the automobiles, while Michael went quickly to Vasil. "I will be back in Tehran on Sunday," Michael said hastily to Vasil, and then I will find you. Kocho, a member of Michael's family in Albania, who did not know that Michael and Linda were Jehovah's Witnesses, rushed up to him and said, What are you doing? We do not talk to strangers. Winding their way through the country to Korch, the De Gregorios realized how different this was from the Caribbean. Everything was old, brown or gray, and covered with dust, recalls Michael. Barbed wire was everywhere. People looked dejected. There were hardly any automobiles around. Windows were broken. Farmers worked the land by hand. Not much had changed from my grandparents' day. It felt as if we had stepped back in time. Your trip was guided by God. Kocho had something that he had kept hidden for years, and he wanted to show it to Michael. When Michael's grandmother died, the family in Boston wrote a long letter to the family in Albania. The first 10 pages covered mostly family matters, but near the end of the letter, the family had explained about the resurrection. The police checked the letter, Kocho told Michael, and read the first few pages. Then they got bored and said, Take it, it's only family stuff. When I read the last part, I was so happy to hear something about God. Michael then revealed that he and Linda were Jehovah's Witnesses, and he gave Kocho a thorough witness. As people did in Bible times, Albanians feel an obligation to care for and protect their guests. So Kocho insisted on accompanying Michael and Linda to Tiran. In Tiran, we could not find Vasil's home, Michael remembers, because there were no street signs. So Kocho suggested that we ask at the post office. When he returned from the post office, continues Linda, Kocho seemed stunned, and we drove straight to Vasil's apartment. Later, Kocho explained, When I went into the post office and asked about Vasil, they said, That man is a saint. Do you know what he has been through? There is not a more noble man in Tiran. When I heard that, I knew that your trip was guided by God. I cannot stand in the way. Getting organized in Tiran. Vasil was delighted to see the De Gregorios, and they spoke for hours. Only at the end of the evening did Vasil reveal that Yanni Comino, who had been imprisoned with Nash Odori, had died that very morning. Why had Vasil stayed at home and missed the funeral of this dear brother and close friend? Because, he explained, someone sent by the governing body was coming. Michael and Linda needed to stay in Tiran, but the government in power at that time did not allow foreigners to live in the city. What could they do? We put the matter in Jehovah's hands, said Michael, and eventually we found a small apartment and moved in. The owners kept the key, remembers Linda, and came in and out at will. In addition, we had to go through someone else's apartment to get to ours. But at least our place was out of the way, and we preferred not to be in the public eye. The De Gregorios listened for hours as the older brothers in Tiran told about the trials they had endured. One of the problems, though, was that some of the older ones were suspicious of one another. Individually, they were loyal, recalls Michael, but they wondered if the others had been faithful. Nevertheless, even though some kept their distance from one another, they did not keep away from us. After calmly discussing the matter, they agreed that the most important thing was to make Jehovah's name known. They were united in their love for Jehovah and were excited about the future. The lack of a functioning congregation was evident. For example, when Kula Jidhari and Stavri Tsechi first saw the booklet Examining the Scriptures Daily, they flipped through the pages with no idea what it was. Oh, manna! Stavri suddenly exclaimed, referring to the book Daily Heavenly Manna for the Household of Faith, which was used back when Stavri learned the truth. By the way, asked Kula, how's the president, Brother Noor, doing? Is his friend Fred Franz okay? That showed how many years had slipped by since they became isolated. What a memorial that was! The 9-by-12-foot room where the brothers normally held their meetings in Vasil Joka's home was too small for the memorial. Instead, the 105 in attendance gathered in a room that used to be headquarters for the Communist Party's newspaper. This marked the first time in Tehran that the memorial was not held in a private home. Though there were only 30 publishers in Albania in 1992, they rejoiced to have 325 at the memorial. The group of interested persons in Tehran was increasing steadily, with meeting attendance in Vasil's apartment up to 40. Some new ones wanted to become unbaptized publishers, and others wanted to get baptized. The brothers spent many hours meeting with those who wanted to get baptized. Because the book Organized to Accomplish Our Ministry had not been published in Albanian, each question had to be translated orally for the baptism candidates. Intensive study was conducted with some newer ones to be sure they understood the truth. Though none had ever had an actual Bible study, it was amazing how good their Bible knowledge was. Legal recognition at last. Over the next weeks, the brothers spent many hours with lawyers and officials, trying to get the Kingdom Preaching work legally registered. A group of brothers and interested persons in Tehran had already submitted a formal request, but a new government had come to power, so persistence was needed. "Everything was done on foot," recalls one brother. "While walking in the city, we would happen to meet the Minister of Human Rights, the Minister of the Interior, the Minister of Justice, the Chief of Police, members of the Constitutional Court, and other influential men. These men were kind and were pleased that things were loosening up. Most of them already knew about the Unge Lord. There was no doubt that Jehovah's Witnesses were alive and active in Albania." For weeks, officials had said that the government would grant legal recognition to Jehovah's Witnesses, but nothing materialized. There was a breakthrough, though, when Angelo Falio, a brother from the United States with Albanian background, visited his family in Tehran. While in Albania, Angelo went with the brothers to meet with the legal advisor of the government minister who was authorized to grant legalization. The advisor was happy to learn that Angelo's family was from her region of Albania. "What village is your family from?" she asked Angelo. Amazingly, it was her own village. "What is your family's name?" she asked. Surprisingly, Angelo turned out to be her relative, but their families had lost contact many years earlier. "I was already impressed by your charter and planned to help," she said, "but now I am obliged to help because you are family." A few days later, the legal advisor handed the brothers Order Number 100, granting legal recognition to Jehovah's Witnesses in Albania. At last, the worship of the true God Jehovah, which had been under ban since 1939, was now legally recognized and unrestricted. There are no words to describe the feelings we had in our hearts that day, the De Gregorios said. A couple of weeks later, the branch in Greece, which had oversight of Albania, sent Robert Kern to visit Tehran. Robert announced to the local brothers the registration of the work and the formation of the Tehran congregation. He also informed them that their congregation's territory was the whole country of Albania. Organized door-to-door preaching needed to proceed in real earnest. In Tehran, a 3-bedroom house was rented for a missionary home and office, with a large adjoining room that could be used as the first Kingdom Hall. The following is from pages 173 and 174 of the printed edition.
An End to Secret Meetings. Adriana Mahmutai. Born 1971, baptized 1993. Profile. She was invited to a secret meeting, and then things changed dramatically. Currently, she is serving as a special pioneer. When my cousin died in 1991, I overheard a woman named Baria encourage my aunt with Bible thoughts. Right away, I asked questions and was invited to meet her friend Raimonda at her place of work. Raimonda's family was meeting at the class. Raimonda told me that I would have to have Bible discussions for a while because new ones were not let into the class right away. I loved what I was learning, and soon I was allowed to attend. That class was made up of unbaptized people who had originally begun meeting with Sotir Papa and Sulo Hassani. Years earlier, the Sigarimi had infiltrated classes and had turned the brothers into the police. So all were cautious, and they were careful about who was invited to meetings. At my first meeting, I learned that we were supposed to make a list of our friends and tell them what we were learning. Right away, I talked to Ilma Tani. Soon, she was allowed to come to the class. Our little class of 15 grew quickly. In April 1992, Michael and Linda Di Gregorio visited Barat. It was recommended that we openly invite people to his talk. As a result, 54 persons came. None of us were baptized. After that meeting, we bombarded the Di Gregorios with questions for hours. We finally learned how our group was supposed to function. Soon, Jehovah's Witnesses were legally recognized. Ilma and I, along with two brothers, went to Tehran to learn how to go from door to door. We were asked to show others in Berat what we had learned. We tried our best. When four Italian special pioneers were assigned to Berat in March 1993, the congregation really got going, with two open meetings a week. That March, Ilma and I got baptized at the first special assembly day in Tehran. There were 585 people present. We became regular pioneers and were soon invited to become the first local special pioneers. Nothing was secret anymore. We were assigned to Korch. Ilma later married Arben Lubonia, who had been preaching alone in Korch just a few months earlier. Eventually, they went into the circuit work, and they now serve at Bethel. I'm happy that I invited Ilma to that class. Recently, when I was sitting at a district convention with over 5,500 present, I thought of our secret class. What changes Jehovah has made. Meetings and assemblies are wide open now. Though hundreds of brothers have left Berat on account of the economy, our little class has now turned into five bustling congregations.
The following is from pages 163 and 164 of the printed edition.
I found real work back home. Ardian Tutra, born 1969, baptized 1992. Profile. He learned the truth in Italy and thereafter returned to Albania. He is a member of the Albania Branch Committee. I was 21 years old in 1991 when I left Albania with thousands of refugees. We had hijacked a ship headed for Italy. Albania was destitute, so I was thrilled that I could escape. I thought this was a dream come true. After 2 days in Brindisi, Italy, I sneaked out of the refugee camp to look for work. A man gave me a small photocopied Bible message in Albanian and invited me to a meeting that afternoon. I quickly thought, hey, why not? Maybe someone will give me a job. I never expected the friendly reception I received. After the meeting at the Kingdom Hall, everyone came up to me and they were warm and loving. A family invited me to dinner. What kindness and dignity they showed me, a scruffy, illegal Albanian refugee. At the next meeting, Vito Mastrorosa offered me a Bible study. I accepted and soon recognized that this was the truth. In August 1992, I got baptized in Italy. My residency documents were finally in order. I had secured a good job and was sending money to my family in Albania. However, I started thinking, now that the work is open in Albania, there is a great need. Should I go back and serve there? But how will my family react? They need the money I send them. What will people say? Then I got a phone call from the office in Tehran, asking if I would be willing to go there and teach Albanian to a group of Italian special pioneers who were moving to Albania that November. Their example made me think seriously. They were heading off to the territory I had left. They didn't know the language and were thrilled to go. My language and culture were Albanian. What was I doing in Italy? I made my decision and got on the boat with those special pioneers. Right away, I began serving at the small Bethel. I taught Albanian in the morning and worked with translation in the afternoon. At first, my family was not happy. But when they understood why I had moved back to Albania, they began to listen to the good news. Soon, my parents, two sisters, and a brother got baptized. Do I regret having given up work and money in Italy? Not for a minute. I found real work in Albania. As far as I'm concerned, the work that really matters and brings lasting joy is serving Jehovah with everything you have.
The following is from page 183 of the printed edition.
Okay, let's go. Altin Hoxha and Adrian Shkumbi. Born, both in 1973. Baptized, both in 1993. Profile. They left university to pioneer, and they now serve as congregation elders. Early in 1993, they were university students in Tehran. A friend talked to them for hours about what he was learning from Jehovah's Witnesses. Everything was supported by the Bible. Later they learned more, applied what they learned, and were baptized the same year. That summer they went to preach in Kuchov, where there were no publishers. After returning to Tehran, Adrian said to Altin, "What are we doing in school? Let's really get the work going in Kuchov." Altin's response was, "Okay, let's go." 7 months after their baptism, they were back in Kuchov. Jehovah richly blessed their efforts. Today, over 90 publishers are active in Kuchov. Some 25 witnesses have left there to serve as pioneers or to serve at Bethel. Adrian and Altin conducted studies with many of them. Thinking about the university, Altin smiles and says, "The Apostle Paul decided not to pursue a worldly career, and in 1993 I made a similar decision. Never have I regretted saying, 'Okay, let's go.'"
The following is from pages 191 and 192 of the printed edition.
A teacher of atheism now teaches the truth. Anastas Ruvina. Born 1942. Baptized 1997. Profile. He taught atheism to subordinates in the military before learning the truth from his children. Today he serves as an elder and special pioneer. In 1971, after graduating from the military academy, I became a political brigade commissioner. That term was used because the government had abolished military ranks in 1966. Among my responsibilities was indoctrination of those in my command with the ideology that God does not exist. I expounded on the philosophy that religion is the opium of the people. I had a wife and three children. In 1992, my son Artan started attending religious meetings of Jehovah's Witnesses in Tehran. Then he took his sister Anila along. I considered that to be a waste of their time and very stupid. Consequently, many arguments broke out at home. One day, out of curiosity, I picked up a copy of The Watchtower. Oddly enough, it sounded reasonable. Yet, even though Artan and Anila kept encouraging me, I would not study the Bible. I reasoned that you can't study the Bible if you don't believe in God. In 1995, the book, Life, How Did It Get Here? By Evolution or by Creation, came out in Albanian. Artan and Anila gave me a copy. That's all it took to convince me. God does exist. I no longer had an excuse. I had to study. Soon, my wife Lydia joined me, and we were convinced of the truth. To be honest,
My progress took time. I was 53 years old. It was not easy to let go of my political and military way of thinking. I have to say it was the Creator, Jehovah, who helped me move forward. I did not want to become a publisher because I worried about preaching to the very people I had taught atheism. What would they think? One day at our study, Vito Mastrorosa read me the account of Saul of Tarsus. That did it. Saul persecuted Christians, learned the truth, and then preached. With Jehovah's help, I knew I could do the same. I still laugh at myself sometimes as Jehovah continues to help me become less strict, more reasonable, and less of a commanding officer. I'm slowly getting there. I don't argue with my children about the truth anymore. On the contrary, I am proud of them. Artan serves as a special pioneer and elder. My daughters, Anila and Eliona, both serve at Bethel in Tehran. Liria and I serve as special pioneers. We feel privileged to teach people the truth about our grand Creator and watch the changes in their lives. What a joy it is to offer real hope based on the promises of the only living and true God, Jehovah.
Returning to the account,
an isolated sheep is found. Are there any witnesses in Vlorë? The brothers asked when discussing the advancement of the preaching work in Albania. Some knew only of an old woman who was reportedly senile. Then a woman came to the office saying that she and her family were Ungjallorë, and that someone named Areti had taught them the truth in Vlorë. So brothers from Tiran made a trip to Vlorë to find Areti. Areti Pina, a short elderly lady, invited the visitors into her home, but she seemed somewhat reserved. When they explained that they were her spiritual brothers, it produced absolutely no reaction. "Can I ask you some questions?" Areti suddenly said after a few minutes. Then she started firing questions at them. "Do you believe in the Trinity? What is God's name? Do you believe in hellfire? What happens when we die? What about the earth? How many will go to heaven?" The brothers answered each of the questions. "Do you preach?" Areti then asked. "Yes," said one brother, "we preach." "But," she responded, "how do you preach?" "We preach from house to house," replied the brother. Areti burst into tears, leaped to her feet, and embraced the brother. "Now I know that you are my brothers," she exclaimed. "Only Jehovah's people preach from house to house." Protestant groups in Vlorë had heard that Areti was a religious person and had asked her to join them. "But I did not want anything to do with Babylon the Great," she explained to the brothers, "so I needed to make sure that you were my real spiritual family." Areti was baptized back in 1928 at the age of 18. She traveled up and down mountains on foot, preaching with Bible in hand. Although Areti had lost contact with the brothers for years, she kept preaching faithfully on her own. "Jehovah is wonderful," said Areti through her tears. "He never forgot me." People thought Areti was crazy for keeping faith in God under Albania's ironclad totalitarian rule. Yet Areti was anything but senile. Her mind was as clear as ever.